Good morning. I'm Mike Greenberg in Bristol, Connecticut on this, a morning after a day unlike any in the history of sports. NBA players demanding change in our nation, putting their season and their sport at the very center of the discussion about racism and equality in America. By the end of the day, we saw boycotts in the WNBA, in baseball, soccer, and tennis. Where does it all lead on this day? That is the question, and we will spend the next 2 hours providing for you the answer. This is Get Up on ESPN, and it starts just before the Milwaukee Bucks were set to play Game 5 of their first-round series against Orlando yesterday. Bucks players deciding they would not play in protest of the shooting of Jacob Blake. Magic players were warming up, but the Bucks never took the floor. This started talks between the players' union and the league and eventually prompted the league to postpone all three of yesterday's games. Sterling Brown and George Hill made this statement.
The past 4 months have shed a light on the ongoing racial injustices facing our African-American community. Citizens around the country have used their voices and platforms to speak out against these wrongdoings. Over the last few days in our home state of Wisconsin, we've seen the horrendous video of Jacob Blake being shot in the back 7 times by a police officer in Kenosha and the additional shooting of protesters. Despite the overwhelming plea for change, there has been no action. So our focus today cannot be on basketball.
When we take the court and represent Milwaukee and Wisconsin, we are expected to play at a high level, give maximum effort, and hold each other accountable. We hold ourselves to that standard, and in this moment, we are demanding the same from lawmakers and law enforcement. We are calling for justice for Jacob Blake and demand the officers be held accountable. For this to occur, it is imperative for the Wisconsin State Legislature to reconvene after months of inaction and take up meaningful measures to address issues of police accountability, brutality, and criminal justice reform. We encourage all citizens to educate themselves, take peaceful and responsible action, and remember to vote on November 3rd on the behalf of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you guys intend to finish the season?
LeBron James was among many who spoke yesterday, the loudest and most important voice amongst the NBA players, and you see his tweet on the screen there, demanding change, sick of what is happening. Adrian Wojnarowski, our insider, will join us shortly from the bubble. Right now, Mark Spears and Tim Legler are with us. Mark is in the bubble in Orlando, and I will start with you. We saw what happened in the afternoon yesterday, and subsequently all of the games scheduled for yesterday were not played, Mark. And then there was a meeting for all of the players last night at 8 o'clock inside of the bubble. What can you tell us about what was said in that meeting and what came out of it?
Oh, a lot was said, a lot of emotions. There were talk about finances, if the players were to continue to play, not play. There was talk about voting. There was 20% of the players have registered to vote, was mentioned in the meeting, and that needs to go up considerably. The Bucks talked. Kyle Korver explained to Doc Rivers, who asked why they did what they did, and while most of the room was a little disappointed that they weren't consulting the rest of the teams before they made that decision, Jaylen Brown stood up for those guys. Jaylen Brown also challenged the players. He said, okay, now if we're going home, are you going home to hang out with your family? Are you going to hang out with your friends? Are you really going to be on the front line? Are you really going to, you know, keep this fight going? Or are you just going home to go home? And that was one of the questions that was given. Chris Paul and Andre Iguodala pushed that they keep things on a united front. Let's see what happens, because it definitely didn't sound like it ended in a very united way. But a lot of players talked, but there wasn't any much resolution in the end.
Okay, and Adrian Wojnarowski, I'm told, is ready to go now. Let me bring Woj into the conversation as well, also inside the bubble. Woj, if you could pick up the thought there again on all that we know about what was said and perhaps maybe for the purposes of the sport itself, what were the most importantly, what were the decisions that they are working towards amongst the players right now?
Well, Greeny, even in the aftermath of that meeting last night, some of the teams went back. As they went back to their hotels, you know, they reconnected with their organizations and talked through into the evening about these issues and about continuing to play. And, you know, as Mark said, what was the goal? What would be the goals, the plans of action if they did decide to not play? What would the impact in a lot of ways, what's the economic impact of not playing, not just for the rest of this season, but into next year. I think there was a sense that this morning, after sleeping on it last night, having another meeting later this morning at 11 a.m., which is going to be held simultaneously, I'm told, with an owner's meeting, a Board of Governors meeting, also at 11 a.m., which will be held virtually around the country with owners, that there might be a different sense of moving forward together, of probably unlikely playing those three games today, but moving perhaps toward trying to restart in the bubble. But that was still very much in the air when everybody went to bed early this morning. There was a lot of uncertainty among teams, among players, about whether the season would restart or not here in the bubble.
Following your Twitter feed yesterday, Woj, I saw that there was an idea that perhaps the Clippers and the Lakers were on the side of not continuing the season. And, of course, that would include several of the biggest stars in the sport, including the biggest of them all, LeBron James. What can you tell us about that?
You know, there was polling last night at the end of that players' meeting. They broke the players into groups after the broader meeting. They told the coaches that they needed to leave. The players hashed it out more themselves. And, you know, there was a sense that the Clippers and the Lakers and that polling might be willing to not play. There was a sense that perhaps this morning there might be a different resolution. What does it mean if two teams want to play and the other 11, or just two teams don't want to play, hypothetically, another 11 do? That's where it's up in the air. How do the playoffs continue? But, you know, I think there was a sense that even those teams and their star players might feel differently today. I know players throughout all those organizations went back and talked more into the evening, and we'll have a better sense later this morning about what it all means, about whether the players are ready to want to continue here in the bubble. And, you know, as Mark said, Chris Paul, Andre Iguodala, who are two leaders in the Players Association, you know, they really have pushed the idea throughout, even in coming down to Orlando. Whatever we do, let's do it in a united way. And that's really hard in this environment. There are lots of players, lots of different feelings, agendas about moving forward. And does that mean every single player might stay and others might leave? Yeah, there might be, in the end, ultimately, some different solutions for each player within each team about moving forward. But there's no question we reached a pivot point in this bubble, and we'll have a better sense coming out today about where it all lands.
All right, Woj, I'm going to keep you close because obviously you'll be working on this story all day long, as everybody will. I want to try and go back to Mark Spears now, if I can, because I think there's a really important question here, Mark, that you said that was raised in that bubble, and I didn't get a chance to ask you what, if any, answer was provided, which is to say, if the players were to choose not to continue here, what would the aim of that be? I understand that the most important thing here is the message that is being sent and the pressure that is being applied. What would be the hope that if they were to choose not to play, what would they be opting towards? What would they be choosing and what would they be hoping came from that?
Well, that might mean different things to different people, but I think it goes back to what Jaylen Brown said. What are you going to do when you go home? You know, the main reason that they had this impasse that the Bucks didn't want to play yesterday is because they were upset with what happened with Blake. They were upset with the vigilante shooting, and they wanted to make a statement of it. And it's certainly more emotional for them because they play in the state of Wisconsin. So I kind of got the sense the last couple of days that these guys felt like they were being muted, that people weren't listening to them, that all this kneeling, all this wearing the shirts, all this talking was for naught. I do think that we're so insulated in this bubble that they may not know the impact that they are having on the outside that the world is seeing. You know, even with the social justice messages with the players, you have international players who are having them in different language. So you don't know here how it's impacting some kid back home when they see Luka Doncic wearing a message from a different language. So I think I wish they kind of got some more results. But also, I kind of feel like they're putting too much on their shoulders. I was hurt. Yeah, I was upset when I saw it. What I saw Sunday. And as a lot of these players being fathers, you know, they believe that, I mean, they kind of see it as that could be them. And their families are, a lot of them, going to come out of quarantine. They haven't seen him in a month and a half. So there was certainly some emotions, some frustrations. Fred VanVleet, his father was murdered when he was five. And he had to deal with having conversations about that at five. And then now you're talking about your kids are coming Monday and you're thinking about being a father, being shot with your kids. I just think there was a lot of emotion and certainly a lot of pain over these last couple of days. But if these guys think that they're going to heal the world's problems in here, I think that they're being unfair to themselves. That's too heavy of a burden. Even if they're doing a little by little by little, that's changing the world, that's great. But if they want to take the weight of the world, even as big as LeBron James' shoulders, that's not even fair for him. There's just too much evil in this world today. And I wish, though, that they could really realize the beauty of what they're doing in this bubble. Because outside the bubble, these microphones ain't going to be there. They might be there for LeBron James, but will they be there for Fred VanVleet every day, George Hill every day? They're having a message here that I think is strong and profound. And I'm telling them that, look, what you guys have been doing is amazing and great. And I think it's having a far greater impact than they believe that they've had.
Very well said, Mark. Thank you for that. Let me bring Tim Legler into the conversation here for the first time. Tim, you played in this league a long time. We've never seen a day like yesterday, and who knows what today will bring. I just wonder what your reaction to all that we have seen so far is.
Well, I think, first of all, obviously, making a powerful statement like that is a lot different than, you know, having a presser or putting something on the court, putting something on your uniform. This is a powerful statement. You're now actually walking away from the game and willing to do that. I think it shows you how visceral this is for the players. And they didn't know really, I think, in the moment, how they could be heard on a higher level. And so they decided to make this decision. My initial reaction was, wow, like, that's very powerful, but what is going to be the end game here? And I think sometimes when you take actions like this, I think it's better to have a unified strategy going into it of what is our plan. And I think when you have individual teams making these decisions kind of on the fly, the way it happened yesterday, now they tried to get some resolve to it last night collectively, and they're going to do that again this morning. Hopefully, coming out of that, Greeny, there is a unified message that the players and the owners can agree on in terms of, this is what we would like to see happen. This is our plan going forward. Because for me, I don't think this can be about taking a day of not playing, a couple of days, 3-4 days. For me, from this point forward, I don't see any way you play tonight. And I don't know how you play going forward, because for me, what this has now become about is, this is so important to us, we are willing to shut this thing down completely and go home and more actively participate in whatever way that they choose, whether it's individually in their own communities, whether it's collectively as a team, whether it's collectively as a league, whatever they decide to do to more actively participate. Because I think what this tells you is they were feeling like, hey, we're out here going about business as usual, and the world is not business as usual right now. The world needs us, and they need us to be more active in this. And that's really what this is about. So I don't really know how you go forward and play again this season after this. Because if you have a couple of teams leave, or you have, hey, individually, who wants to go, who wants to stay, basically you have now taken whatever they're playing for and rendered it meaningless. There's no championship to be had if the Lakers and Clippers aren't involved. They're the two favorites to win a championship this year. Or even if individual players and star players leave, you're left in the same boat. So I think going forward, I don't know how you play. And I think then they have to come up with a unified strategy of what it is they're trying to affect. Because, Greeny, there are so many layers to this. You can't just say, hey, let's shut down the NBA and boom, we're going to get what we want societally. It's just not going to happen. You can't change local government. You can't change policies. You can't change systems, protocols, rules. You can't change people. by doing this, which is really what it's about at the core. So I want to know going forward, what is the strategy? What are you trying to accomplish by doing this? And I think that's what they're going to have to get on the same page about throughout the day today. And we'll see what message comes out of it. But clearly, they're letting you know how much they're hurting, how visceral this is. And the players collectively wanted to make a much more powerful statement than anything they've done to this point. Now let's see what happens next.
Again, simultaneous meetings scheduled for today. The players and the Board of Governors separately, 11 o'clock Eastern time this morning, where we would assume a lot of these decisions are going to get made. I'm going to ask both of you to stay with me here for just a couple of minutes. We'll take our first break of the morning, but we'll be covering this for you with the very latest all day long. LeBron James, not only the face of the sport, but one with a very large responsibility. You'll hear how Charles Barkley described that last night, coming up in a moment. And the protests were not limited to basketball last night. Why certain teams did not play and how the day's events left one player in tears. All that and more on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and yesterday, just before the Bucks were to play Game 5 of their series against the Magic, Milwaukee players decided they would not play in protest of the shooting of Jacob Blake. Magic players were warming up. The Bucks never took the floor. That began talks between the union and the league, prompting the league to postpone all three of yesterday's games. Here was Charles Barkley with Wolf Blitzer last night on CNN.
Just in the last couple months, going back to Ahmaud Arbery, Mr. Floyd, he had the young lady who was screaming at the black guy in New York. Now you got Mr. Blake who just got shot. It's something all the time. I admire these guys for standing up, but Wolf, it's exhausting being black because there's a double standard when you're black because I have to comment on everything that happens in the black community. And it just gets, same thing with LeBron, who's our most prominent player. But man, it's just, you get tired of something all the time.
All right, I'm thrilled to be able to bring in my friend Jay Williams, who is taking a quick break on the radio show Coast to Coast this morning with Keyshawn and Zubin, KJZ as they call them. Jay, Will, thank you. And so I know that you've obviously been talking about this now for several days, but for those who've not had a chance to hear your perspective, I just want to give you the floor. What is your number one thought this morning as we see what is an unprecedented circumstance in the NBA and beyond?
That I am tired of being tired, Mike. You know, I really am. And today is a day with so much going on in the world, from the pandemic to Hurricane Laura to new CDC guidelines. There's so much happening right now. On top of this, that today is a day for resolve. Today is a day to be energized and to be animated about what we're standing for. And I stand with my NBA brothers in this boycott. You know, I was having a conversation with Mark Lazary the other day while this whole thing broke down. He's the owner of the Milwaukee Bucks. And I watched him get a call where he found out that the team was boycotting. And the first thing that came out of his mouth wasn't, what are we going to do? What's happening? Is I stand with the players. And this is the opportunity right now, since the players felt like they have not been heard and that there has not been tangible action that has taken place with another shooting seven times in the back of an individual. That it's time to extreme measures call for extreme situations call for extreme measures, Greeny. And it's time to push the owners to work with lobbyists to push for legislation. Now is important more than ever for the players to outline the framework of what it is that they actually want. What legislation do you want change, and give owners targets so they can then deploy assets and get these things done.
It's remarkable that we have NBA players, these incredible, for the most part, incredibly young men taking the lead in this. Just very quickly, this, as you mentioned, these are your brothers. I know how strongly you feel that way. What sense of pride can you describe in what we are seeing and the leadership that is being shown right now inside that bubble?
You know, I was just talking, Greeny, it's so hard for me to remember what I did last week because we live in a tornado of chaos. And I think that is the strategy that it has been deployed, right? You had so many things happen so fast that you can't remember. The world has stopped on this axis right now. And the next words that come out of these players' mouths are so important to outline that framework. And somebody the other day said to me, well, they're NBA players leading these calls. Isn't that unfair responsibility to put on their shoulders? No. No, it's not. LeBron James, his shoulders were built to carry this weight. I do not see them playing today, nor do I see them playing in the future. And somebody asked the question, well, what is lost? There is nothing lost. There is everything to gain by doing this.
Yeah, I know you have to get back on the radio. Thank you, my man. I really appreciate you doing this. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Greeny.
All right, that's Jay Will. Meanwhile, NBA players in the bubble meeting this morning. They'll discuss their next steps. What is expected to happen? We'll go back live to Orlando in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, and let's get up and go around an unprecedented day in the history of sports. Three Major League Baseball games postponed. Reds, Brewers, Mariners, Padres, Dodgers, Giants. In addition, some individual players dropped out of other games, including Dexter Fowler and Jack Flaherty of the Cardinals and Jason Hayward of the Cubs. So this went to baseball. As for the National Hockey League, before Game 3 of the Bruins and the Lightning last night, the NHL held a moment of reflection during which the words "end racism" appeared on the Jumbotron. The league, however, did not hold a similar pregame ceremony for its second game of the night between the Avalanche and the Stars. In tennis, two-time major champion Naomi Osaka announced she would not play in today's semifinals of the Western and Southern Open. The tournament as a whole later announced it was pausing play for a day. She said in a statement, quote, "Before I am an athlete, I am a black woman," so she will not play. To Major League Soccer, five of yesterday's matches were postponed as players chose not to play in protest of racial injustice. LAFC midfielder Mark Anthony Kay led a group of players and managers who insisted it was the players and not the league who decided to postpone games yesterday. The WNBA postponed all three playoff games scheduled for yesterday. Players left an initial meeting feeling they would play. Shortly after, though, the Washington Mystics decided they did not feel comfortable playing against Atlanta, and the other five teams agreed with the decision not to play. All this coming after, in the NBA's bubble, the Milwaukee Bucks, just shortly before they were set to play their Game 5 against the Magic, Bucks players decided they would not play in protest of the shooting of Jacob Blake. Magic players were warming up. The Bucks never took the floor. That began talks between the players' union and the league and eventually prompted all that you just saw that happened in sports yesterday. And we will cover this for you now from a variety of different angles. Insiders with me here, Jeff Passan covering the baseball, Dan Graziano the football, and Malika Andrews, who is live with us inside the NBA's bubble. And Malika, I will start with you. How would you describe the sentiment in the bubble after the players' meeting last night?
Wow. I mean, Greeny, it was emotional, highly emotional. There was a lot of passion that you could see. There was a lot of questions from a lot of people as to what is to be coming next. And in the actual meeting, there was a lot of dialogue just about whether or not folks felt that they should continue to play. Some folks said that, you know what, we do think that could be the best course of action here, or at least we shouldn't put it completely off the table. And there was another group of players who said maybe not playing is the best way to continue this action. There was also discussion about whether or not the Milwaukee Bucks should have let more people know ahead of when they were actually deciding to not play against the Magic in Game 5, because as we all know, the Magic went out and they warmed up, and so some players on that team felt like they wanted to be included, and whatever that they were going to do, and Chris Paul said this in the meeting, we want to make sure we do it as a group. But afterwards, I was watching players walk across a bridge where they go to eat at a players-only restaurant. Some of them were just talking amongst themselves. Late at night, about 2 o'clock in the morning yesterday, there were some players that were singing. It's a different, highly stressful in many ways time as players are weighing what they want to do here and how this will continue.
Really important there is pointing out that Chris Paul and others in the union leadership want to make sure that what happens is unified. It does not sound to me like what you were describing is a group of players who right now are unified. So they have another meeting scheduled for 11 o'clock this morning. What are you hearing from players about that?
Well, as of the wee hours of the morning, I talked to one player who said that I don't know what to expect. I don't know if I should be going into this meeting thinking that it's just going to be another discussion in which we have to some time to digest it afterwards, or if this is going to be the time where we're actually going to make a decision on the rest of the season. That's still a little bit convoluted, even in players' minds. The one common ground that I keep hearing over and over is that they want to continue to make steps forward here and get closer to what it is they will be deciding to do with the season. That being said, I don't necessarily expect there to be a neat, clean resolution in just a matter of, you know, 3 hours, 2.5 hours on the East Coast at this point, because players are still trying to figure out, okay, and I know Jay Will just said there's only things to gain and nothing to lose, but in the back of their mind, they are thinking about the CBA. They are thinking about their brethren that are next to them that maybe potentially make a minimum salary or less than them. They're thinking about what the ramifications could be for the next year. They are thinking about, even more importantly than all of those things, okay, so let's say we don't play. What will we use this time to do? Because that was the question for the Milwaukee Bucks. And in a 2.5 hour window for a game, they were able to say, okay, we are going to call lawmakers. We're going to call the attorney general. We're going to call the assistant attorney general and get some tangible, actionable items and advice here that we can move towards in the state of Wisconsin and affect change locally. But figuring out how to do that nationally and even worldwide on a larger scale as to what would happen if games are replaced, and the question of if their platform for some players becomes smaller in that moment, that is weighing on all of their minds.
So many different things to be decided. It's exceptional work by you down there, Malika. Thank you for this, and we will check in with you again shortly, as this obviously is developing all day long. That's Malika Andrews inside the bubble. As I mentioned, three baseball games were postponed yesterday as well, including Reds, Brewers, Mariners, Padres, and Dodgers, Giants. There were also individual players who dropped out of games. Dexter Fowler, Jack Flaherty from the Cardinals, Jason Hayward of the Cubs. There was also reaction on social media. Dee Gordon of the Mariners tweeted this: "There are serious issues in this country. For me and for many of my teammates, the injustices, violence, death, and systemic racism is deeply personal. This is impacting not only my community, but very directly my family and friends. Our team voted unanimously not to play tonight. Instead of watching us, we hope people will focus on the things more important than sports that are happening." Meanwhile, emotional reaction from Anthony Rizzo and Dom Smith after playing in their respective games last night.
"I've gone through a lot with my high school, and it doesn't change. And it's just the fact of the matter. Politicians don't really give a f*** about us. All they care about is their own agenda, and this is just the way it is, and it's upsetting."
"I think the most difficult part is to see, like, people still don't care. And for this to just continuously happen, I mean, it just shows just the hate in people's heart. And, I mean, that just sucks, you know? And being a black man in America is not easy. So, I mean, like I said, you know, I wasn't there today, but I'll bounce back. I'll be fine."
Jeff Passan is our baseball insider. Jeff, what emotions are you hearing from other players and people around the sport in reaction to the Jacob Blake shooting?
Greeny, Dominic Smith is as gregarious, as kind, as noble of a kid as you are ever going to meet. And so to see him breaking down like that, I think opened a lot of people's eyes around baseball when they ask the question, why are they doing this? Why are people not playing? It's so someone like Dom Smith has the ability to tell his story and to show what it's like to be a black man in America in 2020, and to have that platform and that area to go ahead and do it. And listen, players across the sport are seeking that same kind of unanimity that Malika was talking about. They're trying to get on the same page, and at the same time, they're understanding that it's never going to be the case where everybody inside of a clubhouse agrees on what the right position is, what the right tack is going forward. But what they are doing, Greeny, is listening to the leaders in the clubhouse. You see last night with the Los Angeles Dodgers, Mookie Betts said, "I'm not playing." Clayton Kershaw came in and said, "I am your brother. And as your brother, I'm going to do everything I can to support you. And if that means you're not playing, then that means we're not playing." We're not going to see that everywhere across the sport, Greeny. But the fact that we saw that in Los Angeles with two players of the stature of Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw, I think, went a long way to explaining why yesterday did happen.
Yeah, that's very well put. I was actually just reading this on an Instagram post on ESPN's Instagram. Clayton Kershaw, the quote was, as a white player on this team, how can we show support? What is something tangible we can do to help our black brothers on this team? We felt the best thing to do was to support that and not playing. So you say that a lot of decisions, obviously, are still to be made. We had three games postponed yesterday. What should we expect to happen regarding that from here?
You know, Greeny, I don't think that any games are going to be postponed today. This feels more like a one-day action in Major League Baseball. MLB, in fact, went and put out a new schedule that has three doubleheaders today. But if you had told me yesterday afternoon that three Major League Baseball games were going to be canceled on account of protesting racial injustice, I would have said, no way. This was the same sport, Greeny, that just 3 years ago had one player in Bruce Maxwell taking a knee to protest racial injustice. And now you have three teams, six teams really, not playing games on account of that same issue. That's progress. And that's the reason that Bruce Maxwell knelt. And that's the reason that the Milwaukee Bucks took the action they did to spur something that goes not just throughout basketball, but throughout all of sports and hopefully throughout all of society.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. And obviously, we'll keep you close by and see if there are any further developments in the world of baseball. Other places where there was reaction include the National Hockey League, where star Evander Kane offered major statement by the NBA players, "I'm with it." From the world of football, a new Seahawks safety, Jamal Adams, tweeting respect to the NBA players for sacrificing their passion and livelihood to demonstrate our anger and frustration. This can't keep going on. Meanwhile, the Washington football team canceled today's practice in response to Sunday's police shooting of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin. Ron Rivera says the team will instead discuss issues of racism and social injustice in America. Washington's decision comes 2 days after the Lions canceled their practice in order to protest. Let's bring in our NFL insider, Dan Graziano. Dan, what is the NFL's reaction to other leagues refusing to play following the police shooting of Jacob Blake on Sunday?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Well, Greeny, NFL players are watching this situation very closely, and you mentioned the Detroit Lions already canceling a practice 2 days ago so they could all stand out in front of the team facility and talk to the assembled media about the reasons why and that the issues that are driving that action. Yesterday, the New York Giants pushed their practice back 45 minutes because they were having a team-wide discussion about these issues. And you mentioned the Washington football team already today. I would not be surprised to see other teams take similar steps today in terms of canceling practices and replacing them with some sort of discussion along those same lines. The key thing to understand here is NFL players want to know what's being done. These are young men who feel the same kind of pain and anger and frustration that Dominic Smith was articulating there. And when you go back, it's almost 3 months now since that video that players put out asking the NFL to back them and Commissioner Roger Goodell putting out his video in response to that. Following that exchange of videos, Goodell met with players to talk about what the issues were that were important to them. One of the things that grew out of that conversation was an NFL Votes program, an initiative the NFL has launched to encourage voting rights and voter registration. You've seen this launched in the last couple of weeks in TV ads and the like. So the NFL players want to know more about what their league and what their owners are willing to do to help them and show support for the causes that are important to them. That's the thing that has to grow out of this. Canceling a Detroit Lions August practice, not as impactful, obviously, as canceling a full slate of NBA playoff games, but the motivation is the same, which is, hey, football is important to us, but there are things in the world that are a lot more important to us, and if we want to put football aside for a while and focus on those, right now you're not going to be able to stop us from doing that.
Understood, and it is clear that we are 2 weeks today from week one of the NFL season kicking off. What are you hearing about any expectation that NFL players could conduct similar protests when the games actually begin?
Look, anything is on the table at this point because, Greeny, I mean, the sad likelihood is that 2 weeks from now, there could be another fresh incident that people are raw and upset about the way they are about Jacob Blake, the way they were 3 months ago about George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery. Unfortunately, this is a cycle that is continuing, and that is the point behind these protests. So certainly you could be in a situation where something is going on that prompts NFL players to take the same kind of action that NBA players and Major League Baseball players took yesterday. The NFL and its team owners and its leadership would do well to continue to be proactive in listening and engaging players in these conversations so that when the players come to them with the question, what is being done? You know, it's not lost on these guys that the Milwaukee Bucks spent their time last night talking to Wisconsin state legislators and executives. That's the kind of thing NFL players have been engaged in, want to continue to be engaged in, and want to see their league and their teams engaged in on their behalf. That's the key to making sure that they have that the players can get answers when they start asking these questions.
So again, right there, the very latest from the National Football League, Major League Baseball, and the NBA. Dan Graziano, thank you very much, and we'll keep you close by if there's any further developments. In the meantime, Doc Rivers, his emotional words the other night were heard throughout the NBA. One ESPN voice is tired of words. You will hear from Michael Wilbon coming up next. Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up on a morning after a day unlike any we've ever seen before. The Milwaukee Bucks, set to play Game 5 of their first-round series against the Magic yesterday, decided they would not play in protest of the shooting of Jacob Blake. Magic players were warming up, but the Bucks never took the floor. That began talks between the players' union and the league and eventually prompted all of yesterday's action to be postponed. Here is Michael Wilbon providing his perspective yesterday on PTI.
It's so difficult, and the point of view can be different from person to person, but the first goal is stop killing people. And Tony, I told you all spring, I am not singing Kumbaya. I don't believe that the country has made a turn. I don't, because people are still getting shot. When people are not shot anymore, then I'll say, okay, let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But I told you all spring, I'm cynical about this. This is why. Kenosha, Wisconsin is why.
An emotional Michael Wilbon. Mark Spears is with, back with us live from inside the bubble, and Richard Jefferson joins us this morning. And RJ, we've not had a chance to talk to you this morning. What are your thoughts on, as you hear what Michael said and you see all the things that happened in the NBA and then well beyond yesterday, what are you thinking this morning?
Well, you know, first, you know, I think Doc Rivers' words, you know, like you guys said, were just felt, you know, not only in this country, but all around the world. People are watching the NBA and seeing what they're doing. And then I think Michael Wilbon is an older African-American, gentleman that has seen far more than I have, that has experienced far more than I have, and is probably way more fed up because of his own experiences. So that's what I expect from our leaders, and Michael Wilbon and Doc Rivers, you know, our leaders. And, you know, it's difficult. You know, one thing that I want to make sure is that these guys are in this bubble. They are here to try and help this country. That was something that they were sold on. They were sold on like, hey, this can make things better. You know, this can calm things down. And so when they get into the bubble, and I think the NBA has done a great job. We've sat here for weeks, if not months, applauding the NBA and how they've been an ally and proactive and all the stuff that they are doing. But ultimately, you know, I don't want to say it's not enough, but, you know, I think the players just really, really felt a certain way, and you can see it. You could feel it, you know, that energy, because they can't be at the protest. They can't go out and support causes. They can't sit with their local congressman or their local senator. They're not able to do that because they're supposed to be here, or they're supposed to be there in a bubble playing a game, trying to help the country heal. But ultimately, the same things are still happening in their communities, and they're upset about it.
Mark, it's a complicated question, but I wonder what your perspective is on it. Do you believe, assuming, and we all can, that the players' singular goal is to make as big an impact as they possibly can in the areas of social justice and racial equality, do you believe that they can do more towards that aim by playing or by not playing?
Well, for example, we just had that passionate plea from Doc Rivers. Before the bubble, I didn't really hear from Doc Rivers. He was gone away. I think that you'll hear from a LeBron James. You'll hear from some of the bigger players in the league if they want to talk. But a guy like George Hill, a guy like Fred VanVleet, other players in the bubble, they're getting an opportunity to speak and be heard and hear. And we get to learn how eloquent they are and more of their story here than I think they would on the outside. If George Hill would have put an Instagram post saying, "I'm tired of these crooked-ass cops," would we have paid attention? Probably not, right? But me hearing him say that, then him going on the Zoom call and speaking out, spoke volumes. To me, that's when I saw, okay, things might be turning a little bit. But I think the NBA needs to pick it up a little bit, too. Like I've noticed over the past couple of days, all of a sudden the ball boys aren't wearing the Black Lives Matter shirts anymore and the ball girls. No, Adam Silver isn't in here. Adam Silver needs to be in here. And this is said with all due respect because I think he's an amazing commissioner, but they need to see him. And it would have been great if he would have been here yesterday to be at the meeting, to talk to the guys, for the stars to bounce things off of. I think there were expectations of a town hall meeting at the beginning of this with some of the elite players of the league that never happened. So I think that maybe the NBA has relaxed a little bit, and they got to pick it up, you know, with the players too. And the owners need to, it's cool to see Ballmer sitting up there and cheering and going crazy and being happy for the Clippers, but maybe he need to get his butt in here too. All these owners need to get in here and stop using it as a entertainment tool to actually see their guys face-to-face, quarantined for 7 days. Ballmer, look at Kawhi in the eyes. Look at Paul George in the eyes and really see how they're doing. Like, this isn't easy. And so when you get that pain that comes back that makes you feel the same way you felt when George Floyd took place and your family's on the outside and you can't hug them that time, I think it boils up, it boils up, it boils up. You see the vigilante and boom, these guys pop. So the same way, you know, that you want them to help the world, they need help too. So I think the NBA and the owners need to step their game up, get their butts in the bubble, not in the green level, I mean in the yellow level, getting here face-to-face with these guys and really show them that they care and that they're willing to do real change.
Yeah, that clearly is coming from this, is one of the things the players want is the owners to take action because the wealth brings with it a level. Yeah, go ahead, Richard.
No, the one thing I want to say, and you know, Mark makes some great points. I want to go back to the beginning of when the first, like, should we play or should we not? It was all about a plan. And a plan still becomes the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say something, and it's sad. Whether they play or not, there's still going to be incidences that happen. This is not going to, whether they play or not, is not going to erase the things that have been going on in this country and will continue to go on in the country. Ultimately, the NBA players, their goal is to make things better and hopefully to make things better. That is the idea. Yeah. But as long as they have a plan in place, I'm fully, fully supportive of whatever they do.
That's really well said. I'm going to break it here for just a moment. Guys, please stay with me. We will do much more. Woj will join us as well, as we'll continue to cover this for you all morning. I'm up against the end of an hour here, so we'll take a short break and we'll come back on a monumental day in the NBA, and it is just beginning. Woj will jump in the conversation as well. Coming up next, a player meeting scheduled for later this morning in Orlando that could determine whether or not the NBA postseason continues. Stay with us. Get up on ESPN.